Chicago. This is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by Bruno Barron, Stephanie Hitt, Doug Ibendahl, and Chris Roebling. Our program tonight comes to you from our home base at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email me a comment, brucedumont@museum.tv. If you want to tweet me a comment, it's @Dumo. And again, you can join us on the World Wide Web at beyondthebeltway.com, the audio and video portion of this program each and every week. And if you miss it, you can go there and watch it for when the relatives come over for Thanksgiving. Bring them all together. Okay. Watch all of our shows. There are 92 days to go before Election Day. And again, in every campaign, there's an ebb and a flow, and there's an up and a down for candidates. I think historically for this campaign, a lot of people would say, maybe even some Trump supporters would say, that last week wasn't a great week for Donald Trump. And there are some in the media suggesting that it's all over and polls are going south and Donald Trump has had a really bad week. So I'm going to begin with you, Chris Roebling. You are a Republican analyst for WGN Television Chicago, longtime guest and frequent substitute host on this program. Can Donald Trump recover and put this race back on track?
Oh, I believe absolutely. I believe Donald Trump still has a very good shot at winning this, and I think that's the single most important thing. The organizing principle for my view of how things are going this year is Hillary Clinton represents a very clear and present danger to the health of the Republic. I think Trump demonstrated by the end of the week that he was back on message. He was touching base with the base of the Republican Party, and I think he's beginning to get out his economic message with his speech tomorrow in Detroit. And I think that's his path.
By the way, let me mention that our program tonight is about Republicans or Republican-leaning folks. There are no Democrats on the program this evening because so much of what was discussed in the news media last week was the future of the Republican Party. It's going nowhere. People are jumping off ship. What a horrible situation the party has. So tonight, if you are a Republican, we're talking about the future of the party. Whoever you voted for in the primary, we want to get your reaction as to whether or not you're on the Trump train or not. Let's go to Doug Ibendahl. Doug, would you acknowledge, and again, you are a very strong Trump supporter. You were for Trump before it was fashionable, although I don't know if it's fashionable in a lot of circles.
Absolutely.
But would you acknowledge that last week was not a very good week?
Well, not if you ask any of the so-called mainstream media.
What about you? What about you?
No, I think Donald Trump is doing Donald Trump is doing his job. He's I think he's right on track. I mean, you look at his rallies; they're getting bigger than ever. I think he is right on message. I know that the press hates him, but every dishonest, misleading, clickbait headline that every time the press goes over the top, most recently, Donald Trump hates babies. At some point, people say, this guy's not being treated fairly.
Stephanie Hitt, do you agree with just the statement that because the news media is piling on Donald Trump, in many cases that I would say with self-inflicted wounds, doesn't have to say some things, but again, it's created a perhaps sympathy figure.
I completely agree with Doug, because I think what's happening is the press is harping on what we consider the Trumpisms, the commons crying baby, the sort of side remarks. The problem is that the media refuses to focus on the things that Trump is really trying to get out there. And I'm looking forward to his economic speech, because the minute he starts talking about the economy, or notice how the media just glossed over his response to the $400 million ransom payment that was made to Iran. And he was one of the few people to come out there. And rather than focus on that, the media the same day wanted to talk about the crying baby. If there isn't bias in that, I don't know.
And they got the crying baby story wrong.
Right.
The mainstream media got the first 3 days of crying baby coverage were based on non-factual predicates.
And look, Bruno Barron. I want to get Bruno Barron's response.
I'm not a never Trumper, but I'm probably the most anti or against Trump person on this panel. So let me just be clear. Of course, it was a bad week for Trump. Of course, there were all kinds of self-inflicted wounds. And The whole con thing was a bad mistake on his part.
How so?
Let him finish.
The simple fact of the matter is, if you're going to create those kind of openings and have that kind of stuff happen, you're going to have the kind of false Hillary Clinton bounce that you got based on media coverage. And it's time for Republicans to stop whining about the media. We knew they did. If Donald Trump wasn't in this race, they would be saying all the same things about racism and babies and this and that and the other thing about Jeb Bush or John Kasich, because that's what the media does.
Well, that's right. But we do understand that from the media. But what we don't understand are why so-called Republicans are echoing the mainstream media. That's what doesn't make sense. It's not whining.
If the mainstream media says it's probably a mistake to attack a family. I mean, this was. I mean, he walked into it. The Democrats set a trap for
what?
Him. What do you
mean specifically?
He was set up.
Of course, he was set up. But you don't take the bait.
What do you mean?
You don't say anything to a family who lost a kid serving this country, no matter what.
He was asked a question about it. That's an interesting point.
At no point was Hillary ever questioned about the fact that she stood over a young dead man's coffin and lied to the parents about the circumstances in which Hillary led to his death.
Right. Hillary is clearly more reprehensible if you take a look at Trump and the cons or Hillary and the parents of the four men who lost their lives in Benghazi. There's no question about that. I think the answer to Doug's question is this. Bruce started the program by saying there are 92 days left, or maybe it's 96, whatever it is. So that's a finite number. There's a finite number of days. There's a finite number of news cycles. Maybe in today's hyper-quick news world, maybe two per day, maybe three per day.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so you have
over 300, and
anybody, whether it's Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush or Donald Trump or Doug Ibenow, whoever's running for president has to make the most of every news cycle. And what I believe I saw earlier this week, or actually going over into the week before, with respect to the cons, was the same diversion by Trump that we saw immediately after Indiana with respect to the judge in the Trump University case. And I said that publicly. I think that those news cycles were wasted then. These news cycles were wasted now. I'm encouraged because by the end of the week, he was back on message. And I think if he stays on message, the guy can conceivably win.
Will he be believable if he gets back on message?
I think he is. I think he's a lot smarter than people are giving him credit for. People were mocking his endorsement of Ryan. However, he did it. He did it, I thought, fairly genuinely. And to be honest, I think he sort of stays true to himself. And whether you like it or not, while you find some of his sides a little bit glib, people have factored into him already a Trumpism, that he's going to be saying these things. So when he says them, I think they get glossed over pretty quickly.
Two weeks ago, all these polls you're citing were flipped. After the Republican convention, Trump was up in all of them. Nate Silver was saying Trump had a 56% chance of winning. But just yesterday, the Reuters poll is within 3 points. It had Hillary up by 3 points, but that's a margin of error.
Right. Well, again, polls. Back shortly from Chicago, 1-800-723-8289. When we come back, some calls and your response to last week and also the campaign. If you are a Republican, how do you feel about the image of your party right now? Are you optimistic about a future with Donald Trump as the leader, or are you scared out of your mind? Back shortly.
.TV.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night on Antenna TV.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through October, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels.
Join me for a new season of Wild Travels, Sundays at 11 p.m. on WTTW Channel 11.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago, 1-800-723-8229. We're going to go to calls in just a moment, get reaction. But again, Stephanie, you said something about the last week about Donald Trump at the end of the week going back, and he created a brouhaha early in the week when he was a little coy in talking about whether or not he was going to be for Paul Ryan. I want to just, before we go to this clip, I want to play a little clip. But was that a necessary? Again, I would describe that as another one of these self-inflicted wounds. What was he trying to do early in the week by sort of tweaking Paul Ryan?
Well, when he said he wasn't there yet? Well, I mean, Paul Ryan and John McCain are both in contested primaries. I think Paul Ryan probably will win this
right.
week. But neither McCain nor Ryan endorsed in Trump's primary. I didn't have a problem with Donald Trump staying out of that either of those primaries.
Isn't there anyone on that campaign that could sit down with Donald Trump and say, Donald, this is like no story. It's only going to be a story if you don't just – you're going to eventually go with them anyway.
You're an insider, Bruce, and that's inside baseball. There's not a single person in America –
I'm insulted by you calling me an insider, but go ahead.
There's not a single person in the poor single mom in the south side of Chicago right now is not thinking, well, gee, you know, I'm hearing a lot about this Donald Trump. He wants to bring jobs back, but, where does he stand on this Paul Ryan thing?
I agree with that, but my point is – If he wouldn't have titillated everybody early in the week, that wouldn't be a problem.
Can I say, look, here is how we waste news cycles, okay? Instead of attacking Hillary, which is to say, instead of describing Hillary, you don't have to attack Hillary, just describe what she's actually done compared to what she has said, and she's gone, okay? But instead of that, we got into the thing where I believe was reacting to the Koch brothers announcing that they were not going to be supporting him, and he went into a tizzy, and he started to say things about Paul Ryan and about John McCain. And then, who Paul Ryan happens to be from Wisconsin and from the same congressional district as Reince Priebus, who happens to be the chairman of the Republican National Committee. So Reince Priebus then gets his attorneys working on the question of succession. What happens if there's a vacancy in nomination? Now, people might say Reince overreacted by having him do that, but then Reince upped that ante by allowing that story to get out. And there's no way that story gets out without Reince Priebus saying it's okay for you quietly off the record to tell the Washington Post or the Washington Examiner Daily Caller. This turns into a sideshow, what I call a derivative non-story. I agree with Doug. Nobody cares about him and Paul Ryan. That's inside baseball. But when it breaks out into a Reince Priebus is feuding with Donald Trump.
But wait a second,
That is off the point.
Let me make it real clear for you. The point
is telling people what Hillary has done.
Donald Trump is asked about these issues, and he gives it. And he gives an answer.
As he learns how to be a candidate, he will learn how to control.
Have you ever watched a Trump rally?
Doug, I want to just make a point here. I've said in this program, no candidate in the history of American politics has ever been in a position. A challenger has ever been in a position to change the subject, change the news cycle like Donald Trump. If you're the president of the United States, all you got to do is go out there and say, listen, I think Donald Trump is unfit. Wherever the president goes, he makes news. Donald Trump is literally, he's a tweet away from changing the subject. My point is that Donald Trump has used his Twitter account, has used those tweets to reinforce a negative story about himself that only perpetuates a story, as opposed to tweeting something out and saying Hillary is unqualified because of Benghazi, because of Libya, because of 15 other reasons, or why wasn't he tweeting about the hike in Obamacare premiums with companies wanting to exit
the marketplace?
That's his story. It's on a platter for him.
Bruce, is Trump winning too much for you? Did he win?
No, my problem is
the same.
No. No, not at the moment.
I'm winning too much.
Wait, Doug. That's not what I said. I'm just saying is here is something. He is in control of the news cycle. And instead of looking down a list and seeing three or four things just this week that could be really negative for Hillary Clinton.
Which he uses his Twitter time to do it.
Hold on. To the extent that he did, Doug. To the extent that he did. And I know that he did say those things. Physically, it happened. I know that. Attention was elsewhere. Okay? And that's part of the Republican burden because why? Giuliani on one of the talk shows this morning did a fabulous job of telling Martha Raddatz, I know you don't want to hear this, Martha, but let me tell you, you guys don't treat us the same way. And the truth is, if you get in as a Republican to one of these races, you know that the national media is gunning for you. And that's why you have to practice greater
message.
Bruno, what is so frustrating, and I'm probably out of the four people here, I'm the one that's saying I'm voting for Gary Johnson. But before I vote for Donald Trump, he's going to have to show me something much more than anything he's said or done in the last year and a half. So I'm open to it under those circumstances. The fact of the matter is, it's so frustrating to see this guy who literally got to where he is because of his capacity to control the news cycle, to blow it day in and day out, and it just makes you ask. Why, if he's so smart and if he's so capable of doing this stuff, why is he doing this now? It makes no sense.
Bruno, you sound like you're channeling Jeb Bush from the primary. You were a Kasich guy.
Yeah, I was a Kasich guy.
You're not even voting for Donald Trump, right? Bruno?
Why are you here?
Wait. Doug, I want to answer that question. He is here because I hate to break it to you. There's a lot of Republicans, Doug, that are not going to vote for Donald Trump.
Right now,
you know what? We don't know what the number is, okay? We have focused, and on this that's why we're doing this program tonight. We have spent, this program and the media, spent a lot of time talking about whether the Bernie bros and the Bernie supporters are going to be with Hillary, that Hillary has a problem of uniting her party. You have your head in your sand if you don't believe that the Republicans and Donald Trump have the same problem. And in my case, it might even be worse.
Let me respond to that. If someone openly says that they are supporting the Libertarian Party, which Bruno said he is, then they are a libertarian. If you're supporting the Libertarian candidate for leader of the free world, then you're a libertarian.
That's not a Republican. Necessarily true. Bruno said he's open to Trump,
There's a lot of Republicans who are voting for Hillary. That doesn't make
Bruno
them Democrats.
Bruno is one of the most thoughtful Republicans in Illinois.
But he's supporting the libertarian.
Which really means you're supporting Hillary.
Let him finish.
It's nonsense.
Let him finish.
It is true.
No, it's nonsense.
It's Hillary or Trump.
All I'm trying to say is that, and I've said this already, the guy knows how to control news cycles, and he blows it way too often for my comfort
to be able to defeat Hillary.
And he was elected because, unlike previous Republican nominees who sort of took it lying down the way the press treated him, Trump seemed to be the one hope that would stand up to the press and to respond to the silly little remarks.
The bias.
Right. And that's what people have hope for in Donald Trump. And there is a frustration that he's wasting this talent and hope
and time
on side issues.
We're going to go to calls. Let's go to Todd listening to us in Austin, Texas on KLBJ. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm 32 years old. I'm somebody who has always considered himself to be a Republican. And I've got young kids. I'm so frustrated with this party, not because of Trump. I think probably because of what has led to Trump being the nominee, I think is the better way of explaining it. You've got a party who is not at all interested in reducing spending, a party that has embraced cronyism to the highest order, and they've basically proven that all they want to do is increase the size of government at a slightly slower pace than the Democrats.
Amen, Todd. Todd, I hope you're running for president in 2000 and whatever. Come on.
I'm 32, so I'm 3 years away from being constitutionally able to run.
And I would, I'll just echo that and agree with him. And I would neither candidate, neither very few candidates in the Republican side, and no candidates on the Democratic side are, and Trump is included in this, are addressing spending.
Right.
They're not even talking about the fact that this country is going to be $20 billion in debt and trillion in debt in next week, and $25 trillion dollars in debt 4 years from now.
Last word to you, Todd.
It's the unfunded liabilities.
Right.
It's the fact that when I'm 65, Social Security and Medicare, I mean, thank God Bernie didn't win, because what he would do to those entitlements is just ridiculous. The genie in the bottle of government is very difficult to put back in, and the Republicans have done absolutely nothing to stop spending, and I'm not confident that Trump would either. He's not embracing free enterprise. He's focusing too much on trying to bring back jobs, whatever that means. He sounds a lot like
crony.
Democrat populist.
Crony capitalism.
Todd, listen, thank you for your call. We're moving on to David in Orlando, Florida, listening to us on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Go ahead, you're on the air.
How you doing? I voted for Donald Trump in our primary here in Florida.
Yes?
I'm very...
Hello?
I'm very disappointed with his recently approach, you know? And I'm not going to vote for him. I'm open for...
Why did you vote for him in the primary? What did you like about him in the primary?
I swallow that gimmick that he was an outsider, but later on I realized he's part of the establishment. I mean, he gave money to Hillary, he gave money to every candidate, you know, and every...
Well, but those things were known in the primary. But listen, thanks very much for your call. 1-800-723-8289 from coast to coast and border to border.
I truly think he's the least establishment candidate of the 17 or 16.
Ever, that's ever run.
No, of the 16.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Back shortly from Chicago.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels.
Join me for a new season of Wild Travels, Sundays at 11 p.m. on WTTW Channel 11.
The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Bruce Dumont back in Chicago, and let's go to Steve listening to us in Oswego, Illinois, and he's listening tonight on the Internet. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, Bruce. I've been a listener for years.
Thank you.
Follow Chris on Twitter and Doug on Facebook. Anyway.
Okay.
One, I really wouldn't worry about the polls right now. There's a really good poll, and it shows up on the Real Clear Politics website. It's the LA Times poll. And if you do a little homework there and look up how they're doing their and the success of the polling from 4 years ago, right now Hillary and Mr. Trump are tied. They're at 44%.
Okay.
I want to pick up
on Steve's point. I think that unfortunately Trump, you know, we had a situation where they were within a margin of error, and then he got a boost from the Republican convention. She then got a boost from the Democratic convention, but then she got an additional boost as things got distracted with the Khan family. I want to point this out. You have to get down to what are referred to as the crosstabs, which are much lower than what are reported in the newspapers. And unfortunately, there are crosstab results that are not good for Trump. Okay, now I agree with – I don't think that this is irreparable. I don't think it's too late. I don't think these are too horrible for Trump so that we know the outcome of November. But
are there tabs that are good for Trump as well?
not – no, all of the motion since the Democratic convention has been negative towards with respect to Trump's interest, and he's got to catch that. And here is what I – specifically, if he is going to win, he is going to have to get college-educated whites at a higher rate, at a rate closer to the non-college-educated whites than he is currently, and he's been losing in that category as he's gotten into what I refer to as these diversions. I know some people don't think they are. Number two, I got to tell you this. The other thing that is absolutely detrimental to Trump's viability as a national candidate is an underlying result, which is now the American public is beginning to say it would prefer a Democratic Congress. That has happened in the last 4 days. Now, we had been holding on to a polling result. We want a Republican Congress, whether they're for Hillary or for Trump. But now that has shifted over for the first time in months. That is not a good trend for Trump or for anyone.
Let me ask a follow-up to that, because one of the things that the news media has focused on, we've talked about it on this program, is a very important poll, and that's the right track, wrong track.
Right.
The wrong track, it's like 70%, over 70%. It's so what I'm hearing you say is, although generally speaking, right track, wrong track is used to describe the mood of the people regarding the presidency, meaning, you know, they may like Obama, but they think the country's going on the wrong track. Following up on your recent analysis here, then, when the voters say that they think the country is on the wrong track, they could be talking about the Republican Congress.
They could resolve that ambiguity against the Republicans in Congress, and that could result in a huge, if you're a Republican, you would be very concerned. I believe that Trump can repair this. I believe that the Republicans can prevail, but it's going to take a lot more discipline than we have seen since the Republican convention.
What do you think of his analysis on the right track? Just analysis of what he just said.
Well, I think one thing about Donald Trump, I think the thing that should scare some of the incumbent congressmen like Illinois' own Adam Kinzinger, who is constantly out there trying to undermine Donald Trump, our Senator Mark Kirk, the same thing. These guys are terrified. Donald Trump makes them look bad. Donald Trump exposes their do-nothingness. There's a lot of jealousy going on. But I think a lot of it is, these guys have been sitting around there in Washington. Basically, they've had really nothing to do. Basically, they go in and press a button every once in a while and, you know, have a press conference and say they're against Obama's agenda. They really haven't been doing anything. They are terrified. Donald Trump is going to come in there. He's going to, you know, show them how to do the job, show that this country can advance. And they're terrified that he is going to expose there. He's going to fix things like the Veterans Affairs Administration.
But do you agree? You know, just to follow up on what Chris was just saying, do you agree that the mood that's out there, this wrong track mood, which you've parroted and you've cheered because you think that Donald Trump is an answer to that.
Yes.
My point is, by doing that, are they also saying we don't like the Republican Congress?
Yes.
We don't like gridlock.
Absolutely. And that is what's so great about the Trump presidency and why he appeals to so many people. Donald Trump transcends the Republican Party. It is not Donald Trump is the one who has, I don't want to make a Christ analogy here, but Donald Trump is forced to bear a lot of the sins of the Republican Party. You know,
I think it's based on something completely different. And I think it goes back to one of the things we opened up with, and that is the media bias. I do believe the media so wants people to believe that the Democratic convention was this amazing success and it was beautiful and it was positive. And so all the news since then has been about the positive direction, the positive things that the Democrat Party has, more hope and change. And the media has sort of taken hold of that story. I think a lot of this is, I don't even believe that poll, but secondly, what the media has done is has globbed on to the fact that they're painting a rosy picture of what Obama has done over the last 7 years. Oh, yeah. And that's the problem.
But people
aren't even looking at the latest jobs report, which shows huge unemployment.
I want to ask
the worst GDP growth, all of these things.
All right, I'm going to go to Bruno first.
A couple of things. I mean, first of all, one of the things when we think about these polls, and this actually does go to Trump's benefit, that people haven't really talked about, and it's not so much I don't believe the polls as you're looking at a social phenomenon going on where Trump is so vilified. And he's people are afraid to put Trump signs in their lawn, or they don't want to stay there for Trump because somebody might be angry at them, or they might be ostracized at work. That we could be seeing what happened back in 1982 with Bradley and Duke Mejian in California. Right. We could be having a bit of a Bradley effect.
Does everybody agree with that?
No,
there could be a huge
Bradley
effect.
There is a lot of silent Trump supporters.
This is what's so ridiculous about this. These guys on the other side of the table over there, my distinguished purported Republican friends. They've been, you know, carping since the show began about, you know, quibbling. Oh, Donald Trump should be doing this. Oh, he's not doing this right. Oh, he's doing this wrong.
You don't think there could be a Bradley effect?
Meanwhile, they spend all their time bringing up these old issues and repeating the dishonest press narrative to undermine Donald Trump. It's a bunch of nonsense.
I don't think that undermines Donald Trump at all. It makes a case where he might win. It's not undermining. It's a simple fact. There's a lot of people out there who probably will.
Why is anyone afraid? Why should anyone, instead of saying, gee, there's people out there that are afraid to put a Trump sign in their yard, why don't you say, you know what, we're supposed to be Republicans here, and we finally got a candidate who is growing this party. We should all have Trump signs in our yard.
Those are all facts.
Everybody back. I'm going to come to you in just a moment, but I want to follow up on a very important thing that Chris just said, and that is that a lot of that Donald Trump has got to improve with white collar
educated whites.
Okay. Right. White collar educated whites. To do that to me is one of the groups that might be reluctant to say at a cocktail party, I'm for Donald Trump. It's reluctant to say I'm going to put a sign in my on my lawn. That's a big deal. And these are the same people that even if they go from where they are now, which may be not wild about Trump, to the polling booth and in the secrecy of the polling booth, they vote for Trump, which speaks to the Bradley effect. The point is you can't deny that those people are out there because the polls, whatever poll you're reading, suggests that. And I'm going to say something to you because I've had you on the program a lot. I've tried to be very fair. On having Trump people, anti-Trump people, a party, or why we're doing this program tonight. The Republican Party is a party that has a lot of people who like Donald Trump, and it has a lot of people who are holding their nose about Donald Trump, and it has some people who really despise Donald Trump. And everyone who despises Donald Trump, I will tell you, they're all going to get their 15 minutes of fame on the national news media because the news media loves turncoats. Whether they're Republicans or Democrats, that's a story. So all these people, you know, whether it's Mark Kirk in Illinois or Kinzinger, anybody that stabs Trump in the back right now, if they're Republican, they're going right to the front page of the New York Times. But my question to you is, I said something last week on this program, and I'm going to say it again. I live in the city of Chicago. It's one of the bluest cities in one of the bluest states. And with the exception of Doug Ibendahl, there isn't anyone that I know personally that's going to vote for Donald Trump. Nobody.
Let me address that. Well,
By the way, I hang around not with all liberals. I hang around with people who are Republicans.
Well, let me address that. I think because I do live in Chicago, not far from here. Number one will help you expand your circle of your Rolodex. Okay. But Donald Trump didn't win the ward where we're sitting now, where I live, this congressional district. He did not win this congressional district, but he won all the other congressional districts in Cook County. But he won all the other congressional districts in Chicago and in Cook County, by the way. Let me give you a specific example. First of all, the other side of the table, you know, be wet blankets all they want. Here's a poll we're not talking about yet. There is a credible poll in North Carolina which has Donald Trump getting 32% of the African American vote. That is phenomenal. Today, this morning, there was a and it was live stream on that Right Side Broadcasting, the same one that does all the Trump events, an African American church in Charlotte, North Carolina, endorsed Donald Trump. This wasn't just a pastor. They took a poll of their entire congregation, and it was unanimous to endorse Donald Trump.
And
these are the kind of people he's growing
on this show. Several weeks ago, I was with you, Bruce, and we heard it from the other side. There was a woman here who sat and said, Black Lives Matter members, male members in the black community are voting for Trump. She said it right here on the show.
Back shortly from Chicago with your calls.
Come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlings now at 888-880-TREE.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
There can be no stable and enduring peace without the participation of the People's Republic of China and its 750 million people. That is why I have undertaken initiatives in several areas to open the door for more normal relations between our two countries.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Back shortly in Chicago. Stephanie, you wanted to make a point. Is that you are a suburban, are you a soccer mom?
Lacrosse mom. But
you're a suburban lacrosse mom.
Lacrosse.
And you're a Republican, and you swim in these murky social waters.
I do. I go to the barbecues and cocktail parties. And I have had people stand there completely, seriously, in shock that I'm a Republican because I'm a nice person and I shop at Whole Foods and things like that. I've actually had people say that.
And you went to college.
And I went to college and I have actually had people say that.
And you have a full set of teeth.
And I do know that, you know, these people are listening to what the media is saying, that you must be a Neanderthal racist if you support Trump. And you know what? Those were the same comments that I heard, not with Trump. I heard those about Romney.
Exactly.
I heard those about McCain.
Everything that is being said about Trump in the media is true of Hillary to a greater extent. When they say that he is not prepared to be commander-in-chief, look at Hillary's record. The reason they are saying that is so that the contrapositive is discredited. Okay? They get it out first. You are not capable of being commander-in-chief.
Unfit.
The fact is that she is not capable of being.
I agree with that.
But they are better at this. Another disappointment that I have with Trump being as, you know, sort of not from the same cloth as the traditional Republican candidate, Bob Dole or whatever you want to put in it, George Bush, whatever. Here he is from over here, but he hasn't got, I don't think that he has the campaign gravitas, either himself or his staff, to really pump that message out.
So Manafort is not, in your view, Manafort's not doing the job.
I think that I've known Manafort for 36 years, and he's a brilliant guy, and he's a determined guy, and he is a big competitor, and he wants to win. He is precisely the wrong person to go on TV for Donald Trump because he is the polar opposite. He is the establishment. Doug was saying the establishment is empty. No, the establishment is full of Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort goes to K Street to get as much money or as much influence for his clients as he possibly can.
Would you say the same thing about Rudy Giuliani?
No, Rudy's fantastic.
Well, and the other thing, this all leads one to ask, if he's got someone like this, if he's got someone who is this savvy, whether he's establishment or how dialed in he is, why aren't they doing a better job? The fascinating thing to me is, and I'm a guy who's been thinking Trump was going to lose big from the beginning, and yeah, he still may lose big. He may actually win. Who really knows? So I've had to go back on a lot of the things I've said. The fact of the matter is, Hillary has dumped $50 million worth of advertising into all of these swing states. And up until the con problem that Trump stepped into and walked into, up until then, it hadn't gotten Hillary a lead in those states. It was outside the margin of error. The more she advertises, the more people hate her.
The country.
I want to know, and I'm a little disappointed. I thought that his children would have more of an impact on him,
right,
to get him to stop tweeting, yeah, and to be a little more.
You know who has impact?
They should be out there.
Wait a second.
Are
you guys,
who has impact?
Chris, let me ask
Pence.
You.
Pence is
the only
guy.
Could you just admit that? Let me just jump in here. Doug, I will really like this because you've been running around and you've been peeing on everybody on the panel who disagree with you.
No,
is there anything
just
Donald Trump
two
has done wrong? Is there has he made any mistakes? Has he done anything wrong? Is there any misstep? Is there anything that he's done that isn't perfect and quite frankly Christ-like? Because you brought it up a few minutes ago.
Second. No, I said he wasn't. Wait a second, Bruno. Wait a second.
Answer the question.
You asked a question. Let me answer it. You know, I've never said he's perfect. You know, I listened to Phyllis Schlafly, who's famously said, you're not going to find a perfect candidate.
Right.
Jesus Christ is not on the ballot. We all know that.
Good.
But you know what? Here's the difference. But I don't know why. You've admitted you're a libertarian now.
I've been wanting more parties for more things for the longest time.
Bruno, be honest. At least be honest. At least man up and say you want Donald Trump to lose. At least be man up and say. But you don't want to openly say that you're for Hillary.
Okay,
so you're doing sort of this passive aggressive thing with a libertarian.
That's completely ridiculous. I want Hillary to lose.
Back
to your corner. I want Hillary to lose.
Gentlemen,
so you've got to be for Trump.
Right. Gentlemen,
yes.
Let's go to Portland, Oregon. Okay. Jim is listening to us on WUFO. Go ahead, Jim. You're on the air.
UFO.
Go ahead.
Hello, Bruce.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to reiterate what one of your previous callers said and your panelists were talking about. I'm here in Portland, Oregon, probably the bluest city and one of the bluest states in the country.
Yep.
Yes. And I got into a heated discussion last week with a couple of my coworkers about Donald Trump and how he's crooked and he's incompetent. And the third person that was in that discussion never said a word, but after we got through the discussion, you know, he pulled me aside. He said, you know, I agree with 100% with what you said. But I don't want to get into it here at work because I'm afraid it's going to affect my relationship with my coworkers.
Because liberals don't believe in the First Amendment.
Right. Well, and that's they've been doing this since McCain, at least.
Right.
George
Absolutely.
Bush. Actually, George
go
Bush.
Ahead.
They have done this.
Let's go back to Jim. Go ahead. Go, Jim. Make your final point.
And I'm a college-educated white man. I've got a four-year engineering degree, and these other individuals, one of them had a four-year college degree. The other guy was ex-military. Which really surprised me that he was trashing Trump, but he was from Seattle, and you know, you just never know. But
it's in the coffee
out
there.
There's a huge number of people out there that are in the same boat as the rest of us are. That there's a silent majority out there that when they get in that polling booth, they're going to pull the.
Can I just real quickly say,
go ahead.
Jim in Portland, I believe, is giving voice to a point just referred to by Bruno, and that is the following: despite everything. Okay, and I believe that Trump has shown some genius about capturing the imagination. He's shown some verve about his positions. He's had, I believe, some missteps. But despite everything, the country has kept him close to Hillary Clinton because the country desperately wants to avoid a third term of Barack Obama. And if Trump can capture that the way that he captured the anti-establishment fervor in the Republican Party in the fall of 15 and the spring of 16, then he is going to be the next president.
Stephanie.
And that's the thing is what he and we're looking forward to seeing this on Monday is he doesn't even have to talk about Hillary, her emails are lying. All he has to do is talk about national security, the increase of terrorism in Europe. The economy, Obamacare. Let's just start with that.
The other piece that really helps sort of the silent majority is the media itself.
Yeah.
The more the people look at television and see how the media has got their thumb on the scale, the more they will support Donald Trump.
Yes.
Back shortly from Chicago.